From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. A new report captures a grim economic snapshot of how Southeast Alaska has been affected by COVID-19. Not surprisingly, businesses that get a major boost from tourism have been hit the hardest, and while the findings look pretty bleak, it could serve as a roadmap of where to go next. KTOO's Elizabeth Jenkins has more.
Franklin Food Court in downtown Juneau is the kind of spot that normally draws tourists and locals in. You can sit outside and look up at a view of the mountain peeking through tall buildings while ordering something distinctly from Alaska, salmon ice cream or halibut tacos. Today, seats in the outdoor food court are mostly empty. David McCaslin is the owner of Deckhand Dave's Fish Tacos. He says there were many unknowns leading up to the season.
Ooh, coming March time, I was like, oh, well, we're going to see how this goes.
But so far, McCaslin says his business is holding up all right. He opened up a little later than normal, and he was able to receive a loan from the Federal Paycheck Protection Program, which is helping him ride out the summer. McCaslin emphatically states he's one of the fortunate businesses. He feels empathy for his downtown neighbors who don't have the outdoor space to spread out and make guests feel more secure. McCaslin says he's approaching the future with a mixture of hope and caution.
It seems like this is going to continue on going for a little bit longer, and who knows what next summer will bring.
According to an economic report commissioned by Southeast Conference, 17% of Juneau businesses said they were at risk of closing over the next 12 months. That sounds bad, but across the region, that number is higher, 23%.
I tell people that, you know, this report is really heavy, it's really hard, it's really depressing.
That's Melanie Shivens from Raincoast Data. She helped put the economic report together with surveys from 460 businesses across the region. She says places like Petersburg were more insulated from the economic downfall since the community isn't as dependent on cruise ship tourism. Haines and Skagway, on the other hand, have been feeling that revenue loss the most.
You have COVID and you take those cruise ships away, and the elements that the economy has been built on are destabilized.
As of June, fewer businesses in Southeast Alaska reported receiving federal COVID relief funds compared to distributions across the state. Shivens isn't sure why that is, but she thinks the $52 million of funding businesses did receive was extremely helpful. Still, Shivens says this report didn't show a lot of bright spots.
But every year from now on, we're going to be comparing it to 2020, and it's going to be improving. So we're going to be able to look back at 2020 and say, you know, we're doing so much better than 2020. So this is our bottom year.
However, Shivens says the region still has a lot going for it. Southeast Alaska is a place tourists will want to visit again someday. She says this report reads as a kind of manual for how to best support businesses at this time. Most businesses name access to grants and utility assistance as the top two things that could help get them through. In Juneau, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins.
Now, here's a sensitive story. State troopers have solved a 24-year-old sexual assault and homicide case in Sitka. DNA evidence pointed investigators to a 66-year-old man living in Arkansas who took his own life last week, shortly after Alaska investigators arrived to question him. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has more on the story, some details of which might not be appropriate for all listeners.
Jessica Baggin disappeared sometime after midnight on May 4, 1996, walking home from her 17th birthday party. The news was devastating, as over the course of the next 2 days, an intensive search turned to sorrow. This is Major Dave Hansen of the Alaska State Troopers.
On May 6th, searchers found the shirt that Jessica had been wearing when she was last seen alive. Less than 2 hours later, Jessica's body was recovered approximately 70 feet off a bike path parallel to Sawmill Creek Road. She had been discarded and hastily buried in a hollowed out area beneath the trunk of a large fallen tree.
Jessica had died just a few blocks from home on a well-used and visible route in the very heart of Sitka, just across the street from the Alaska Department of Public Safety Training Academy. Hansen spoke during a Facebook live stream announcement from the troopers on the afternoon of Tuesday, August 11th. In 2018, investigators applied a new technique in genetic genealogy developed by a company called Parabon to the genetic evidence found with Jessica's body. It led them to 66-year-old Steve Allen Branch of Austin, Arkansas. The pieces fell into place from there.
Investigators established that Branch had lived in Sitka at the time of Jessica's murder. The cold case unit also learned that in March of 1996, only a few weeks prior to Jessica's murder, the Sitka Police Department had investigated Branch for sexually assaulting another teenage female. He was indicted and arrested for the incident in June of 1996, but was subsequently acquitted after a trial in 1997.
Investigators from the Alaska Bureau of Investigation flew to Arkansas and interviewed Branch at his home. Hansen says that Branch denied any involvement in the Baggin case and declined to provide a DNA sample. From there, the story took a grim turn.
Only 30 minutes after the Alaska investigators departed the residence, Branch committed suicide. The investigation into Branch's death, which was conducted by the Lone Oak County Sheriff's Office in Arkansas, determined conclusively that Branch had shot himself.
Okay. It's just been a long time solving this case.
Galen Payne was the public defender in Sitka in 1997.
And I feel deeply for the family. It's been an incredibly difficult road. And this doesn't make the pain go away, but it does at least answer some questions.
Payne defended the man originally accused of Baggin's murder, Richard Bingham, a maintenance worker at Sheldon Jackson College. Bingham had mental deficiencies, and Payne proved his confession had been coerced.
Police were exceptionally anxious to find the perpetrator, and unfortunately centered in on a basically vulnerable person.
Steve Branch's suicide creates an area of legal uncertainty around his actual guilt in the matter. In technical terms, Baggin's case is closed by exception, as there will never be a trial. Department of Public Safety Commissioner Amanda Price said that this matter has haunted her organization for the last two decades, and she is proud of their work.
While Branch will never face a jury of his peers in this case, we can finally say that Jessica's case is solved.
Price said that the genetic genealogy methods used to find Jessica Baggin's killer will continue to be applied by investigators, meaning, quote, there is no amount of time that can pass that a case cannot be a priority for this department. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Alaskans unemployed due to COVID-19 would receive $300 more weekly than normal under a plan announced by Governor Mike Dunleavy on Thursday, but that amount is $300 less than they have been receiving. Dunleavy's announcement follows President Donald Trump's executive order to provide additional benefits. Dunleavy authorized the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development to apply with the Federal Emergency Management Agency to pay out the additional benefits. State Division of Employment and Training Services Director Patsy Westcott oversees unemployment insurance for the state. The division has started applying for a FEMA grant for the benefits.
It is not clear at this time to Alaska or to any state, for that matter, as to when FEMA will be making the awards.
The Trump administration has provided enough funding to cover only roughly 5 weeks. Westcott says the state is doing what it can.
The administration is committed to pursuing all avenues that are potentially available in order to bring relief to unemployed workers in Alaska who need this partial benefit replacement so that they can put food on the table and make their electric bill.
Westcott encouraged unemployed Alaskans to reach out to the state's job centers for help finding work. The U.S. House, Senate, and the Trump administration haven't reached an agreement on extending pandemic relief. The additional benefit from March to July was $600 per week. Roughly 88,000 Alaskans have received additional unemployment insurance since March. And some churches in Alaska's largest city have recently defied the emergency order limiting the size of gatherings in an effort to slow the spread of coronavirus. The Alaska Public Media reported the Anchorage Health Order prohibits indoor gatherings of more than 15 people in public, including religious services. Anchorage Baptist Temple held in-person services Sunday, about a week after the emergency order took effect. Other churches saying they are not complying with the measure include the Wellspring Ministries and King's Chapel in Eagle River. This is KTOO News.